Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 510, the new talk on the road. If you listen carefully, if you have headphones on, you can hear the other semis running. I am in mobile podcast command somewhere in the middle of South Dakota. I couldn't tell you where, actually. Covering the final primary of the primary elections right here in South Dakota for 2016. Why South Dakota? What did I find here? And why did I come here? And what about the final or near final results at this hour in podcast time, which is about midnight, 12:30 Central Time, in the final spate of primaries for 2016's presidential election? So yeah, I'm in mobile podcast command. I love this truck. It runs great. And its ancestral home, aside from Oneida County, Wisconsin, was xgovernmentcars.com. And as you know, the mobile podcast command ambulance came from X Government Cars. They can do the same for you if you're looking for a work truck, an SUV, a van, or some of the great X Government Cars, the Crown Vicks, the Ford Police Sedans, the Ford Police SUVs. They have Yukons, they have Chargers, they have Chevy Impalas. And they're now open in Forest Lake, Minnesota at 356 19th Street. Here's the things that you need to remember about xgovernmentcars.com. Fast financing for all credit levels at xgovernmentcars.com. You can apply online. You get yourself approved. You come out and you pick out your car, or you pick out your car and then you get yourself approved. They have the 3-day peace of mind guarantee, which means you buy with confidence. I've never not had X Government Cars help me out after the sale. X Government Cars and X Government Trucks takes trades. They pay the highest values every day without a lot of BS. So here's the deal. Check out the huge selection right there in the lot at 356 19th Street in Forest Lake, Minnesota, or you can call them 763-777-8782, 763-777-8782. Let me get on the PA.
XGovernmentCars.com.
Well, as we get ready to tour the historic Adams House in Deadwood, South Dakota, let me give you some background. As you know, if you've been listening to the podcast, you know that I started coverage of election 2016 last summer and then continued on to Iowa in late January and early February, on to South Carolina and to a number of other states. And we have now come to the end of the road in June of 2016, on June 7th, with several primaries: California, New Mexico, Montana, New Jersey, and of course, South Dakota, where I am. I think we have one more primary to go in Washington, D.C., I think next week. It goes without saying that this election is weird. It's different. There have been a lot of surprises so far, with more coming, I am sure, before we actually vote in November. I decided to end my coverage not in California, where every major media outlet is like flies buzzing around the story, but right here in South Dakota, where none of them will be. And that says a lot about media coverage in this country. It also, why am I in South Dakota? Partially because I also want to have a completely different conversation these days than the usual. Up, down, right, left, let's predict the future kind, and actually go out and experience people, regardless of their party affiliation, and see some of these towns, as I have been doing in Mobile Podcast Command. And also because I feel a kinship with Midwesterners, from the Iowans who started it all, even though I chafe at the fact that they made such a big deal out of being first in the nation with their primary, to these South Dakotans who will end it, and no one will really pay attention to the vote in South Dakota, and I don't think they much care. And what better a place than Deadwood, South Dakota? It's historic. It's a gold rush town from the 1870s on, a boom and bust town. When I drove in last night, I saw a lot of casinos, and I wasn't sure whether I was going to stay. I found an RV park. I chilled out for the night, and then the next morning, it turned out that my friend Brad and his wife Lori live in Deadwood in the Historic Preservation District, and I said, I'm going to go over and see them, and I did go over and see them, and so we set up microphones on the sidewalk, and Brad, who could have done 10 podcasts with me on the things that he knows about history in the region, taught me a little bit about his new adopted town where he's retired from the Twin Cities, here in Deadwood, and its people. Let's talk about why you decided to move to Deadwood, of all places. Because it's funny, because I really like this town. And I was really surprised that you said that you had moved here. So tell me about why you decided to move to Deadwood.
Well, number one, foremost, Lori and I both love the town itself. I mean, we're fascinated by the history. We love the area. We love the people here. It's a complete environmental change from living in Twin Cities. Other practical concerns, the cost of living here is lower than the Twin Cities. They don't tax pensions here. We both have a pension. No personal income tax here.
Woo!
So we can stretch our dollars further here, which is one of the other concerns. And then a lot of people ask us about the weather here. Like, are you trading this off? Well, we lived in Minnesota all our lives. There's just about nothing they can't throw at us here that we haven't already experienced.
Right.
It's actually warmer in Alaska most of the winter, unless you're way up in Nome or someplace like that.
But then we just love the area, number one, foremost. I mean, taking into consideration the economic factors, even if you're saving money, if you wake up in a place and you're in some sort of hellhole, no. But here, this is, you've experienced, it's just a very mellow, laid-back sort of town.
And I didn't realize, I guess I knew, but this is like Sturgis 2 up here during Sturgis.
You get
a lot of motorcycles and stuff like that.
Yes. You go down Main Street during Sturgis, and it is literally wall-to-wall bikes.
Wow.
There is no parking.
And this is a tour bus coming down, though.
Yeah, we're right on the route up here to Mount Moriah and Mount Moriah Cemetery, so we'll see tour buses go by a dozen times a day easily. That and as many out-of-state plates as you imagine. Just today, I've seen about a dozen out-of-state plates, Indiana, California. A lot of people come here just to see the local history, Mount Moriah up above us.
How many people live in Deadwood?
About 1,270 last time I checked.
So it's really not a huge town.
No.
And I'm kind of surprised by that. The other thing is, I was a little taken aback by the number of casinos when I drove into town last night. And you told me this morning that there's actually fewer casinos now than there were.
Yeah, they've been getting hit a little bit by the thing that they're citing they believe doing it has been the decline in the oil shale industry in North Dakota and Wyoming. And I can remember some years ago before we moved here when we were just tourists that if you sat in some of these casinos, it was amazing how many people you saw coming in wearing jackets for different oil shale companies. Today you don't see that.
I didn't see anybody last night. I mean, they were pretty much deserted.
With what's happened between OPEC and the United States, the oil shale industry has taken a shot. Personally, I think OPEC made a huge mistake following the Saudis on that, but that's just my opinion. But it's had an economic impact here on the casinos. But this town will recover. This town's been here 150-some years, and right now, I see where they're just kind of pushing more the tourism because of the history here. I mean, that's something they can't take away from here. The Wild Bill, the mining industry here back in the 70s and 80s, the Victorian period here.
And that was gold mining.
Oh, yeah. Very much gold mining. Matter of fact, this was probably the most profitable gold mine in North America for a long time, the Homestake right up there in Lead, just about 2-3 miles from here, about a mile higher.
And we were just talking about how it was all started by George Custer at a very odd sort of time in U.S. history. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, it was the United States that, now, a lot of people want to see a conspiracy in it, but in 1873, the country had an economic collapse, pretty bad one. On top of that, we were dealing with the debt from the American Civil War. So this collapse takes place, and then curiously, 1874, the United States government decides that it's going to send a military expedition. It was the largest military expedition the United States had staged since the American Civil War. And they were going to go into the Black Hills with about a reinforced regiment, about 1,500 men. And it was underneath command of one George Armstrong Custer. Now, mind you, this was after we had had a treaty we had signed with the Lakota and Cheyenne Nations, or most of the Lakota and Cheyenne Nations, in 1868 at Fort Laramie. And we had agreed with them that we were going to stay out of the Black Hills. It was, for the Indian nations, considered a holy site. It was a sacred location. Well, we went in nominally with the purpose of trying to find a place to build a fort there so we could better police the Black Hills. We were allowed by treaty to send in the military for that. But no, they went in with a lot of miners, a couple of geologists, and they discovered gold up by French Creek. And once that news got out, initially the government didn't want it to get out, but didn't take long. They found out there was gold here, and that started the flood. Deadwood was a direct result of that.
So everybody knows the show. In fact, I was shocked at the number of people, and I've only watched two or three Deadwoods, you know. I got a little tired. Is it Al Swearingen?
Swearingen, yeah.
Who's the guy that plays him?
Ian McShane.
Yeah, I got a little tired of Ian McShane. He kind of chews up the scenery a little bit. But in any case, everybody says, oh, you're going to Deadwood. Is it like the TV show? So you said that there's actually a lot of differences between things. You know, people weren't being massacred in the streets and things of that nature.
No, they played up the bloodshed more than it actually was. I mean, it was a rough town. There's no doubt about it.
Miners.
Yeah, and it had more than its share of disasters of one sort or another. Matter of fact, the town was completely destroyed in 1879 by one fire. Though, curiously, that fire that knocked down, I believe, burned down about 300 buildings, only killed one person. And legend has it that they rebuilt by looking through the ashes and finding the gold in the dust.
But you're saying that even the sheriff, the legendary sheriff that's portrayed in the show Deadwood, never carried a sidearm on a holster, Wild West style. And I'm going to paraphrase you because in the interest of I don't want to spend too much time, but you said this isn't Tombstone. You know, this is a different kind of a structure here. Tombstone is a much later, people didn't carry sidearms all the time.
Well, they actually had ordinances after about 79. I don't know the exact date, but they basically didn't want open carry. They didn't want people carrying weapons around. Now, mind you, they did.
Sure. Just like today.
Yeah, there were shootings. There was some violence. The thing is, I have only found evidence of a couple of gunfights that ever actually happened in the streets, and they were not like the Hollywood gunfights. In one case I found record of, it was basically two drunks got pushed out in the street and opened fire on each other. They were more danger to the bystanders than each other.
What was the thing the sheriff used to do if people wanted to have a gunfight? That my favorite thing that you said?
Yeah, the legend has it that Seth Bullock could stop a lot of stuff just by he had a hell of a stare, let's just put it that way. But I did find one legend where allegedly he told a couple that wanted to have a gunfight that he'd prefer them that to move it to the cemetery, and when they asked by, he said, well, that just makes it easier for all of us
because we can bury whoever loses the gunfight quick.
There's a lot of legend lore around some of the characters here, and in some of them, like the character that Ian McShane plays, Al Swearengen, I don't know of one good photo of him. We know what Seth looked like. We know what a lot of other characters look like. We have no idea what Al Swearengen actually looked like. Matter of fact, the only picture I've ever seen that reputedly is him is of a carriage in front of what was at that time his establishment, but you can't make him out in it very well.
Okay, so let's talk about politics in South Dakota a little bit. And my understanding is that there's really two parts of the state. There's the part to the east of, is it the Crow?
Missouri.
The Missouri, right. And that part is more, it's more conservative socially. It's a Republican state overall, but that's a different group, whereas this group on this side is a little different.
Well, around Sioux Falls, they're seeing an influx of more Democrats and so on over there. So you're seeing that. But yeah, it's largely a Republican state, especially once you get past the Missouri, back into the ranching territory out here and so on.
What's Deadwood? Like, what's the political orientation of Deadwood? Just a bunch of reprobates or just eccentrics like yourself?
There's a few eccentrics, trust me. I mean, we love them. But I would have to say, in my experience, some of our better friends here I know are Democrats. But I would say, as I understand it, this is largely a Republican county.
But when you say Republican, and this is why I have often railed about this name, word Republican, and I don't mean to immediately partisanize this podcast by saying Republican. It's just in political science, they have traditionally voted Republican in South Dakota. But what I'm saying is on this side of the Missouri, this is a much more, I hesitate, here's another word that gets labeled, but this is a much more kind of a rabble. This is much more of a leave me alone, you know, like the lady that said, it's a choice between one that's going to get us in a war and one that's going to rob us blind. It's not a traditional Democrat-Republican kind of structure.
No, that's true. I'd have to say by my experience, that's true. But if you had to look for a majority party, largely, yes, I'd say a lot of them flock to the Republicans. But you find, in my experience, there's a few libertarians out here. There's a few others. I've run into them.
Do you hear? I don't see any signs. It's hard to tell what anybody thinks, over here. And we're not just talking about Deadwood. We're talking about Sturgis. We're talking about Rapid City. We're talking about Sioux Falls. I didn't see very much campaigning.
I haven't either, and I hate to say it, but in my experience, I was at a recent little coffee that Lori and I attended, and the attitude I was hearing there from some people was like, it's almost hopeless. Which person are we going to vote for? There's no faith in Hillary. They just plain don't trust her. And a lot of people just don't consider Trump to be credible. There's no trust there either. There's no love anywhere for any of them.
No, that's exactly what I think that's what I think is going on. So then you were saying in this neighborhood you've got. Tell me about people who actually have lived in Deadwood for a long time.
Well, this,
are people born here and grew up here and stay?
Yeah,
here?
I would say the majority of them are locals. They've been born, they've lived their lives here. And you have a lot of people that are moving in here periodically. I know a few of our neighbors around here, people out of state from Wyoming.
Guys?
Yeah. Well, we came here. We got away from Minnesota. We retired, and this was the place we wanted to live. But the locals here, I'd say the majority of people in this town have been here all their lives, and they love it here. They're very loyal to this town.
What are they like in terms of the things that they... Are they tolerant of other people? Are they proselytizers? Are they religious?
You've got a little bit of everything here, but by and far, I would say most people here are pretty tolerant. I don't want to characterize, but I've noticed that if you come here and you're a little different, you may raise an eyebrow, but nobody's going to give you any trouble.
And you're an outsider, so you figure you guys will be an outsider till for another 20 years, right?
Oh, probably, but they make us feel welcome.
Is it the same kind of thing as being an outsider in Minnesota when you're?
Oh no, 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 far from it. I'd have to say this is a much friendlier area. The whole Minnesota nice thing, I don't know who started that sham. I really don't. By and far, the people are more friendly here. The people are more accepting, more understanding, more patient. Don't hear about a lot of road rage incidents out here, I'll tell you that. And
it's a beautiful area. I mean, there are beautiful hills, pine trees. You know, you get a lot of snow, but it's not real cold in the winter.
We've been lucky this winter. We didn't get a lot of snow. I've heard about it. There have been a couple of times that when we were out here, we got caught out here by snow for a while. But this winter, we're pretty lucky. Though what's funny is people out here take that in stride, too, because we live in the middle of a national forest. The more snow you get, lowers the probability of you having forest fires the following summer.
Yeah.
So you find a lot of people they don't like it. I mean, you get enough snow, you hear people carping and moaning about it naturally, just like it had in Minnesota. But they bear up with it. They get through it.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Do people here go gambling for fun? Is that what they do? They go downtown and go gambling? Or is there some kind of secret place where everybody goes that I don't know about?
I don't see a lot of them going down to gamble,
where
honestly.
Where do they go?
Hey, we got a lot of really nice bars in this town, and if you want entertainment, it's not that long a drive to go see a theater in Sturgis or Spearfish, or not. There's no theater in Sturgis, I should say, in Rapid or in Spearfish. Last time Lori and I went to see a movie, it was in Spearfish.
Okay. Which is how far away from here?
Oh, it's like 20 miles. It's not that long. It's not that big a drive. You find a lot of people here. You do a lot of your shopping. If you're doing grocery shopping, you're heading off to Sturgis. You're heading off to Spearfish. There's no actual grocery store. There's a nice grocery store up in Lead that we go to very frequently. But
the groceries have to be parachuted in on C-130s. That's the... From the Air Force Base.
The Air Force Base is kind of funny because when you're out here, once in a while you'll see something curious fly overhead. But I've gotten used to seeing B-1s going overhead.
Cool.
You see the B-1 Lancers overhead, things like that. And we had a friend out recently where we took her over there. She wanted to go and see the planes up close, so it's not that long a drive. And matter of fact, if you ever want to see something interesting, Bob, go out to the National Minuteman Missile Site.
I passed it on the way. I do. I want to go there. That's really cool.
You'll like that, especially when they take you underground. You get to go down and see the bunker.
Well, we definitely are getting into air conditioning season. It is getting warmer and warmer. It was actually hot today out here. Now, last night it was kind of cool way out here in South Dakota, but it actually warmed up really nicely today, and I actually got burned for the first time this year, and I wasn't even in Minnesota. But I feel like we're going to have a really hot summer, and we used to laugh about this. Greg Ryan and I used to laugh about how, it's global warming every year because you're unprepared for these seasonal changes in Minneapolis and St. Paul. So This is just a reminder to have your AC checked. A lot of times they have to check the box outside because it gets obstructed and there's problems. You want to make sure it works and it works efficiently. Plus, they can always suggest things that you can do to save money. So Ryan Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning can check out your AC system. 651-224-4771 in St. Paul. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They can get a plumber to you anywhere in the metro, the suburbs too, for four generations, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business, as I've talked about many times. Ryan Plumbing and Heating, they're on University Avenue in St. Paul, just west of the state capitol, where they've always been. So for AC checks, think Ryan Plumbing and Heating, and for emergency service, don't forget they're really good at that. In St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Check them out at ryanplumbing.com. Well, thanks to Brad and Lori for taking the time to meet with me and to contact me and let me know that they lived in a 100-plus-year-old house in this historic preservation district. We ended up spending the afternoon talking about all the different currents of history that just course through Deadwood, from the fact that General Custer sort of started the gold rush in Deadwood, to the fact that this town, Deadwood, is really a second celebration going on during the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. But there's a lot more to Deadwood than that. I think you can tell that from talking to Brad. In fact, this whole part of South Dakota, which is markedly different from the part of South Dakota east of the Missouri, over there it's farming, over here it's ranching and mining. So it's real different. And there are hills and pine country and mountain country. And I think Sturgis and really Deadwood serve as the real gateway to the West. You hear a lot about St. Louis being the gateway to the West, but there was a whole lot of things going on here at a particular point in time. The railroads, the mining boom, Wild Bill, Little Bighorn, you know, all the forts, and of course the Homestead Mine, which is George Hearst's mine, the father of William Randolph Hearst, and a mine which produced, as Brad suggested later, most of the gold rumored to be in Fort Knox. And yet, also you had room for people like this guy Adams and the guy who built the house, who made his fortune selling implements to the miners. And there is still gold in the mines here in Deadwood. And we could have done another 4 hours on this stuff. And when I come back to Deadwood, which I will, we may do that. So talking about that stuff, it is very hard for me to go back to the heavier and the negative and the political energy, which is a heavy metal, if you want to speak in mining terms. A presidential race, which apparently now, as one Deadwood resident described it, will be a choice between one of them who will get us into a war and another one who will rob us blind. And I said, the question is which one? But it is a choice apparently we are going to have to make. There's going to be a lot more time to talk about the heavy energy, the heavy metal of the political stuff. The AP article that crowned Hillary Clinton as the presumptive nominee before the people voted in these primaries this week. There will be more and more time to talk about my admiration for the fact that so far Bernie Sanders refuses to quit, and my question about why Ted Cruz couldn't have put up the same kind of impassioned fight on the Republican side, and time to talk about the media's now incessant habit, and believe me, it's only going to get worse, of beginning the process of telling all of us why this one's going to win and why that one isn't going to win and why this one, no wait, this one's going to win, no wait, that one's going to win, and no one, that one can't win, and so forth and so on. Or what is going to happen once one does win, and what kind of president he or she will be, and what past president he or she is most like. But I think I will leave you with a final comment from a Deadwood resident, a self-described independent who had to register as a Democrat in South Dakota because they throw the Democrats and the independents together into one pool. There are so few of them. This is a very, very Republican state. After I turned my recorder off, she said, let me tell you about South Dakota and the way the rest of the country views it. There was a guy who figured out the DNA for the woolly mammoth, and they were going to produce a whole bunch of them. And somebody said, what will we do with them? And he said, we'll just put them in South Dakota, as she put it, because there's no people here. Apparently, that's what these people think. And then she said, I'll tell you another story, the Payne Stewart story, which is the famous golfer whose plane had an oxygen failure and everyone died, and it just kept flying until it ran out of fuel. She said they were going to shoot it down, and it had F-16s tailing it until it got over South Dakota, and then they just turned turned and left because there's no people. It's not going to fall on anyone. And I think that sums up pretty well how South Dakotans feel about all of this. They're happy to vote in the final primary. I'm sure many of them did. We're still waiting to see what the results are at this hour. But you know what? I really like South Dakota, and I really like the people in South Dakota, and I really liked Deadwood.
Politics in Deadwood reflects the politics in the nation and every place else, so it's very polarized.
Still, really? So yeah. This isn't a bunch of nice people that are just fun disagreements?
Well, when you live in a village, nice people become real people. And, you know, people are the same every place.
Yeah.
So this has been kind of a difficult lead up to an election. So,
how do you feel about being the last state?
Well, yeah, but I'm originally from South Dakota, and I left for a while, and I got to vote earlier, but it was always decided before it got here.
Yeah.
But I still try.
Yeah. Well, so you know, you could have all that attention that the Iowans get, but, you know.
Well, we don't have a population anyway.
Yeah.
We're not going to decide the whole election. I'd like to.
Yeah. Many of us would like to as well.
Yeah,
Just leave it empty for 4 years and just say, we're renovating, we don't need a president, let's just skip this.
Yeah, but every now and then they do. I read a lot of history and...
every now and then you need a president.
Well, yeah, but there are times that we put people in there that are just figureheads.
Yeah.
Or a negative effect, so, and we've survived it.
Yeah.
So 4 years without, we might survive that too. We might learn to get along.
Don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating for AC checks before the weather gets hot. If that thing isn't working right, you're going to get charged up the yin-yang. Why not have Ryan come out and check it to make sure it's working right? It's worth the effort. 651-224-4771 in St. Paul, in Minneapolis. 612-927-6488 metro-wide from St. Paul, which means the suburbs too. Don't forget. And also for emergency service, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. 651-224-4771. 712-927-6488 or check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. And a big shout out to Ed Johnson at xgovernmentcars.com, the father of mobile podcast command. That's where this Ford 450 Super Duty diesel, which just continues to crank away, and I love it. It came from X Government Cars. They're open now at 356 19th Street in Forest Lake. Fast financing, the 3-day peace of mind guarantee, and of course, the highest values paid every day for trade. Check them out online now at xgovernmentcars.com.
xgovernmentcars.com.
Thanks to the digital sponsor, the BobDavisPodcast.com, Alpha Systems. So on Instagram, some people that are pilots are starting to follow me on Instagram. And whenever I find them, I follow them. And then I look at all their pictures to see if I can see if there's an Alpha Systems AOA in their plane, because they do a lot of cockpit pictures. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. It's great to have a visual indicator of your angle of attack when you turn on final approach. In fact, it saves lives. It has saved lives. Click on the Alpha Systems banners at the top of the Bob Davis podcast page. It takes you to their page, and you can see all kinds of stories and content about how it works and what it is. Don't forget, Alpha Systems, they are the people that created the AOA revolution. Check them out online at thebobdavispodcast.com. Click on those banners. Takes you to Alpha Systems. Thanks again to you guys for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, Blog Talk Radio, GCNLive.com for the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show, which is moving to Sundays at 4 p.m. on the Patriot in Minneapolis and St. Paul. I'll tell you more about that on the next podcast. And thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter. I'm at Bob Davis Podcast on Twitter and The Bob Davis Podcast on Instagram. And thanks for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command. Bruce Lundberg, I really appreciate that. I got your donation. Keeps me in fuel and Komodo Dragon Coffee and Beef Jerky. I am heading home, so any donation is deeply appreciated by the BobDavisPodcast.com. Live in Mobile Podcast Command from about 200 miles west of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, aboard Mobile Podcast Command. This is Podcast 510, the Bob Davis Podcast. Thanks for listening.
Okay. Hi. I'm Sue. The house. that you're also interested in was built in 1892 by Harris Franklin. You may have seen the Franklin Hotel downtown on Main Street. He didn't own it, but he put a chunk into it, and I guess that's why it has his name. But he came to Deadwood in 1877. I'm just going to give you a rundown on the owners of the house, because each owner changed it in some way. When Harris Franklin built it in 1892, he then sold it in 1905 to his only son, Nathan. Nathan sold it in 1920 to W.E. Adams, who had two wives. It was his second wife, Mary, who after W.E. died, Vanity just left. She couldn't stay in the house, and it sat pretty much empty for 51 years, and she literally just left everything. There are cookies in the kitchen that are over 80 years old. Yeah. And Mary then, in the late 1980s, 87, sold the house to a couple from Rapid City who used it as a bed and breakfast.
There's guns.